Save big on your next project at Menards. Check out our huge selection of Richmond water heaters. Whether it's electric or gas, tank or tankless, Menards has what you need in stock. Ensure that you have hot water for when you need it most with a new Richmond water heater from Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.
Welcome to the first episode of the Jimmy Eats Cars Automotive Podcast, hosted by me, Jimmy Hilton. This is a new podcast that we're trying here over at Donut Podcast, where we are going to be talking about the automotive stuff that flows in and out of my mind on a constant daily basis. I am constantly at the kitchen table at Donut talking about all sorts of stories I'm seeing on the internet, whether they're new or old, and I just can't shut up about them. They told me to come over and sit in this corner for about 45 minutes and just talk about some really cool stories with you guys. And you know what? If you don't like that, go eat some broccoli. I think you need some vegetables in your life. It'll make you a better person. I just had a little bit of chicken. I shared my coworker's chicken bowl. I stole it from him and because I forgot to put in my order. Usually I bring my own food to work. Yeah, I'm not hungry for food. I'm hungry for cars. This week, we got a few cool topics to talk about, starting with one that I kind of find a little interesting and a little f***ed up. We're talking about Jeffrey Epstein's car collection. So over the winter break, Jeffrey Epstein files were released somewhat, heavily redacted, lots of stuff that was blurred out. One thing that I thought was interesting was that there was a ton of photos released, and in some of these photos are photos of the cars that Jeffrey Epstein had. So let's talk about Jeffrey Epstein's car collection. I'm not trying to glorify this. I'm not trying to, you know, paint this figure in a good light. This was a very sick individual. I just want to, you know, talk about some of the cars that he owned and how some people are trying to track them down as we speak. So let's get into this. We have a few cars on the list that I have written down. He had a red Aston Martin DB9, and then he had a 1969 Pontiac GTO convertible, possibly at his New Mexico house, for cruising around in the desert. Tons of luxury cars. We got a Bentley Turbo R and a couple of Rolls Royce. Obviously, with a man like of his stature, you're going to have a few, you know, cars that you would cruise around in. But one of the cars on the list that caught my eye the most is a Mercedes SLR, a silver SLR with red interior. There's a couple photos of it out there, and the photos are of Ghislaine Maxwell sitting naked in it. So the photos were blurred that were released. This is a silver coupe, so there's only about 1,200 of these produced, and there's quite a few people that have actually owned these. I think so. Michael Jordan had one as well, which is pretty interesting. But because there's this photo of Ghislaine Maxwell sitting in this car with the door open, you can see the interior, people have found the VIN. They've enhanced the image. For those that are interested, the VIN reads as WDDAJ76F75M000301. So if you own a Mercedes SLR, please check your door jam right now. If you bought it in the past 5 years from a dude in Florida, please check the VIN. You might own Jeffrey Epstein's Mercedes SLR. You may just want to replace the seats. I don't think you would want to sanitize them. Burn the seats, order new ones from Mercedes. I think they will understand. If this car goes to auction, will it sell for a lot of money, right? Because it has this name to it, will someone be like, I want to own Jeffrey Epstein's Mercedes SLR? Will that be like, will someone think that is cool? Like, is it cool enough to be this piece of history? Personally, I don't think so. For some people, they're willing to put a $15,000 finder fee into trying to find this. So there was a post on a McLaren forum in 2023 of a member trying to find this car. He had the VIN in 2023. So this is prior to these photos being released and offering a $15,000 finder's fee. He had the plate and saw that it was sold in Florida last. So this dude is either a Fed or he is part of Jeff's like groupies and he's like trying to find this thing. Maybe there's some like USB in it. Maybe there's like secrets hidden in the wheel well. I don't know. Imagine going to a car show and seeing like a concourse show and there's this old white dude on out on the golf course and he's got his little chair set up. I don't know what he'd be wearing, probably some crazy watch. And he's just like, yeah, Jeffrey Epstein's car. And he's got the whole story on the glass of the car. He's got this whole story about Jeffrey Epstein. I just think it's like, that's not cool. Like, you would not want to tell people that that is Jeffrey Epstein's car. That is a way for people to key your car. That's like owning Jared from Subway's VW Golf. It's not a flex, dude. It is not a flex. You would not want to own this.
We'll be right back after these messages. Now back to the show.
So that got me thinking though, like what other people out there who are evil had like car collections. And one that came to mind for me was Uday Hussein, who this was years ago, obviously. And we had some crazy times with the old Husseins. Pretty crazy times, if I'm being honest. But the Hussein family had a pretty extensive car collection. We're talking Lamborghini LM2s, F40s, Diablos, Porsches, a Gambala. So sick. There's a ton of old pictures on this old forum website called teambhp.com. And if you guys have time, check it out. It is so trippy. So basically, these are all photos from when the U.S. troops came into the Husseins' palaces, and it just shows the extensive car collection at the time. A lot of this stuff is just covered in dust. So there's photos here of a 512, which is like a purple-pink color, it looks like. But it's like, yeah, the U.S. troops are like sitting in it. They got big smiles on their faces. They're just having a good old time. This would be crazy to track some of these cars down. And I know like there's photos of the Lambo, the Lamborghini LM002, and the U.S. troops blew up, I think, two of them. So I actually found out, I did some deep diving. There was actually four of them. A lot of people think that there was only one, but there was actually four of them. And from my understanding, one of them is missing still. One is unaccounted for. That would be very cool to find that car, wherever it ended up. Let's see, what else is on this forum post? There's a Mustang. Some of these are in like bombed out garages, obviously. And it looks pretty nuts. I love the photos on this forum, though. If you scroll down farther enough, you'll find photos of the troops sitting in the bombed out mansion. And there's like the pool. And they're all just like swimming around in there. They're sitting on Saddam's bed. Like, this is such a time warp back. And I'm a huge history nerd. So seeing photos like this, this is like two of my like favorite things combining is like military history and cars. And I just think it's so cool. I'm such a geek for this stuff. My grandfather put me in front of the History Channel when I was 4 years old. And we watched like 30 Pearl Harbor documentaries together. I'm going to Hawaii actually later this year, and I'm so stoked to go to Pearl Harbor. I went like as a kid, haven't gone in years, so I'm very excited to go back and like see it all again. I think that'll be pretty cool. Very off topic. Sorry. Honestly, sorry, not sorry. You guys signed up for this when you clicked on the f-ing podcast. Another car collection that's been kind of on my mind lately is Ryan Weddings. So if you don't know who Ryan Wedding is, he is an Olympian snowboarder turned modern day Pablo Escobar. This guy was on the top of the FBI's most wanted list. However, he was arrested last Friday. So he's in the slammer now. This all kind of started in December of last year when his Mercedes CLK was seized. This is one of 16. It's a beautiful, beautiful roadster variant. Cool car. super cool car. And he was public about owning this car. He took it to like concourse shows. I had a buddy, my buddy Mark, who like took a ride in it. And I was like, when I heard that, I was like, are you kidding me, Mark? Like, what the hell? And I guess he was like interested in buying GTRs too at some point. So that's the only car we kind of know about in his collection right now. But he also had this motorcycle collection, which was seized in Mexico, that was worth around $40 million and had some like pretty sick bikes in it. A lot of MotoGP bikes. It was 62 bikes in total. So the dude was not like just a guy who wanted to go buy cars because they were crazy. Like, I genuinely feel like this guy's a real car guy, you know? He like definitely had a taste. He wanted like MotoGP bikes. He wanted this crazy Mercedes. So I'm interested to see what else was in his collection, especially now since he has been seized. So I think we'll be starting to see a lot more of this stuff come out now that he's in prison. And it's funny because a lot of people thought that he was making rounds at MECOM a couple weekends ago in Florida because there was some crazy sales. There was 19 world records broken. It was this crazy Ferrari collection. And a lot of people were making assumptions that it was Ryan Wedding. We got to talk about these past two weekends at MECOM in Florida and also Barrett Jackson in Arizona. First off, MECOM. Why is MECOM named the way it is? I know it's probably named after the guy who founded it. But the fact that some dude's name was MECOM and then they were like, yeah, we should make an auction and call it MECOM. Barb, let's go to MECOM this weekend. Oh, there's so many pretty cars at MECOM. Maybe. I've never been. But I'd like to go and see all the Corvette guys froth at the mouth over Corvettes. But what I'm frothing at the mouth at is the Ferrari collection that sold. So we had 19 world records broken in the span of 2 days. This was at the MECOM auction, Florida. And a large part of these cars were from a collection of yellow Ferraris. So we had this yellow Enzo that looked so sick, and it sold for $17 million. That is insane. And I think over the course of the weekend, they tallied up all the sales that were made at MECOM, and it was $441 million. Tell me you're money laundering without telling me that you're money laundering. Go to MECOM. $441 million is enough to replace a country's whole GDP. That's like crazy to me. Honestly, when I saw that these yellow Ferraris were selling for this much, I wasn't kind of surprised, to be honest. I mean, these are yellow Ferraris. I'd rather have a yellow Ferrari any day of the week. So to see these prices, I wasn't like that blown away because a yellow Ferrari is very cool. But at Barrett Jackson, there were a ton of other records broken. There was this Ford GT prototype, which we'll talk about in a bit, but there was also a 1994 Cadillac Fleetwood that had a little over 8,000 miles on it. And it sold for $102,000. An automatic four-speed GM sold for $102,000. That is insane. You could put a down payment on a GT3 RS. So last year at Barrett Jackson, there was a 1993 Cadillac that sold for $7,000 that was driven by Big Pussy from The Sopranos. So it only makes sense that this year, a 1994 Cadillac sold for over $100,000. So what made this one so special? Was it driven by Giant Pussy? Actually, the one that did sell for $7,000 was not driven by Big Pussy. It was driven by Silvio. But this one's riddled with bullet holes. So I don't think... Now I get why it was $7,000. It's from the shootout scene at the Bada Bing. One thing I hate about Barrett Jackson, I gotta be honest, I hope someone from Barrett Jackson is watching this. Just put the sale prices on your website. Because for the most recent auction, it is so tough for me to like do research and find what prices your cars are selling for. I don't want to make an account. I can go on Bring a Trailer and look at what is selling just like that. Like, just make this easy for me. Because I was trying to look at the price of this R33 GTR that sold, and I don't want to make an account. I already have too many accounts. I don't want to make another f***ing account. End of rant. Sorry, that's just me being a little pissed off white boy about some account making. It's really just champagne problems. At the end of the day, though, I think all these auctions were just big money laundering scams. I think Ryan Wedding probably tried to bid on a couple of those Ferraris, and then the rest was just money laundering. And money laundering is as old as time, you know? So it's going to be around for years to come, and it's only going to get worse. So make sure you get your yellow Enzo Ferrari now. Next time there's a Geo Metro at Barrett Jackson, I'm putting $100,000 on it. I just want a money launder. Like a psycho. Oh, you think art's fancy? Dude, it's just money laundering. So let's take a big left turn to the left side of the world and talk about Tokyo Auto Salon 2026.
The left side of the world?
You fly left. It's the left side of the world. From LA, you fly left. Well, sorry if you're in England or some other year. I don't know if you fly right. If I lived in Australia, I'd just fly up. Tokyo Auto Salon 2026. This is kind of old news, but it's that time of year where every automotive influencer under the sun descends on Tokyo to see all the sick cars and post stories that I have to look at. And then I cry because I'm not there and it bums me out. I went last year and I didn't even get to go into the auto salon, which I really sucked. I literally was like, I'm going to go there with Donut. We'll shoot all these cool videos. And we shot amazing videos. Awesome. It was the best trip ever. But then, yeah, I didn't even go into Tokyo Auto Salon. So I've never even really been. I'd love to go next year. Big thanks to Cho, who got me a Rainforest Cafe Tokyo hat, dude. It hasn't arrived yet, but once it gets here, I'm going to wear it like 3 days out of the week. Just like my Advan hat. I'm going to cherish it, dude. I really am. I really am thankful. I'm so bummed I haven't been to the Tokyo Rainforest Cafe. I've only been to the Las Vegas and I have been to the Disney one here in LA before they shut it down. I've been to one in Texas too. That was pretty sick on the Riverwalk one. The rainforests are disappearing, so you have to eat there while you still can. If you are 21 years old and you can order an alcoholic beverage, get the Coronarita, one of my favorite drinks, and then get the Mojo Bones. If you were living under a rock and didn't see the Instagram post of a mini blue R32, no, that was not AI. That is an actual car that June from Hardcore Tokyo built with Kimura from Rocket Bunny. It's so cool. It's a Suzuki Twin. The Suzuki Twin is this K car that's smaller than a smart car, and it looks like it's out of the cartoon Arthur. It's so cute. I love it. And Nolan really wants one. He's been showing me listings like all week. He's so obsessed, and I think everyone is obsessed right now. Kimura helped our buddy June over at Hardcore make this little R32 look like it was put into a microwave and shrunk. It is so outrageous. I love it. It's such a departure from SEMA because everyone at SEMA takes themselves very seriously. They're trying to build the biggest cars with the biggest amounts of horsepower. And this little guy over at Tokyo Auto Salon makes no power, super slow, and it's super small. And it's taking the internet by storm. And I love it. I love this little guy. I want one. I want one for my wife. I think she would love driving this around. She would just be like, it's so cute. I think it's cute. I really want one. I want it. We can get matching. That would be sick, actually. That would be so romantic and so cute. She could have a pink one. I would do a red one. No, I don't want a red one. I would do yellow. Okay. I'm into this idea. I'm going to make a pitch deck for her. I'm going to make a whole PowerPoint presentation. And I'm going to present it to her at dinner tonight. And I'll be like, babe, we need to get matching chibi R32s. The worst thing that can happen is she spits risotto all over my face. And I kind of like that. If you haven't heard the word chibi, it's a... Let me add to your lingo real quick. This is a Japanese word meaning small or miniature. And I used to be a little bit of a weeaboo back in the day. I used to buy anime figures. And I used to have all the little chibi figurines. Now I want a chibi R32. I think it's so funny how this little car has just broken the internet, like out of nowhere. And I think it's something to do just like a small, fun car that doesn't take itself seriously is in. Like that is in. I mean, we saw this a few years back with Liberty Walk doing the F40 kit. They also did the chibi R35 last year. And I mean, this is just like, I think the new norm of like build, people are going to go out of their way to kind of build this like small chibi car that is not trying to take itself too seriously. And I love this R32. I think it's so cool. But then we realized that you can't legally import them yet because the Suzuki Twin isn't legal to import because they were made in 2003. So we got to wait a couple of years. The JDM boom is back. We're back. It's going to be the next R34 V-Spec. They're going to be selling for $150,000. One other thing that caught my eye at Tokyo Auto Salon 2026 was the Group A replica cars that were at the Craft Sport Group roof. A lot of people kind of just like walk past them, but I really want to know what's going on there. If you're not familiar, Group A is the touring car championship that the R32 kind of like became so dominant in. And this company, Craft Sport, had these two replica R32 GTR Group A cars up front their booth. And I was so curious the whole time everyone's sending photos, like, were these cars you can buy from them? Can you like go to the dealership and like order this through them? I'm like so curious because I will happily sign over a check, a blank check for a R32 Group A replica car. I think that is so sick. Dude, I would love to do a Group A deep dive on this podcast with you guys. Holy shit. I'd go crazy. Yeah, let me know in the comments if you want to see that. If you really want to see me nerd out, because that could go on for hours. I mean, this is the time of year where a lot of tourists come in, a lot of automotive tourists come in from all over to see Japan because Tokyo Auto Salon's on. There's all these other things going on. So a lot of people come in. And there's been this rise over the past few years of JDM tour guides. And these are people you can hire and they will take you to all the parking lots and car meets and they'll drive you around in maybe an R35 or an R34 or a Silvia 180, you know, to really experience this Tokyo street racer fantasy, you call it. I mean, I fantasize about it all the time. So I have no room to talk. I love that stuff. Still, it can go bad, just like in this case, with this guy and his company. So he had a Liberty Walk R35 and his company was called Gaijin Tuned. Really just great name, dude. So creative. And this guy had basically, there was a video that was on Instagram. It's actually still up too. You can go find it. If you go to, let's see, I'm going to shout this guy's Instagram up. Tampa Terrence. We'll drop the link in the bio. But yeah, this guy hops into this R35, drives through the seat, almost hits like four people, like super unsafe. He's obviously like trying to show off. He's got the tour guide has a shiesty on. Like this guy is trying to be a New York swimmer in Tokyo. Just like what an ass, man. Like, so already this video's out there. And then later that night or the night after this video came out, he was driving on one of Tokyo's expressways, lost control at high speeds and hit a truck. Thankfully, no one was killed. However, this guy has now been arrested and he's been now under investigation. And supposedly the Japanese police force has been investigating him since November of last year due to modified exhaust. So this is what they finally got him for. They got him for modified exhaust. So he's in prison now. And they are estimating that this guy made 200 million yen a year annually. For those who can't do conversion math quick in their head, that's about 1.3 million US dollars, which is insane. That's crazy to me because I just like this guy was overcharging. And apparently he had like underlings working for him that had like no licenses and were driving around unsafe as well. And apparently he wasn't paying taxes too. So this guy, knowing Japan's legal system, this guy is going to get the book, the kitchen sink, the refrigerator, everything thrown at him. This guy is going to prison for life, or he'll just be extradited. He's actually not from Japan originally. This guy's from Brazil. So he's a foreigner, you know, just really giving foreigners already a bad name again. Like, you know, this is a common theme. Like, come on, guys, like just respect Japan. But I'm not talking about like Logan Paul respect, right? Just go there and appreciate the culture. You don't have to like be an ass and jump fences and do stuff like what this guy was doing because it's not safe. It's really putting people in danger. I mean, if you ever are going to Japan and you need a tour guide, like, dude, hit up my buddy Ken, C1 Tokyo. He's great. He helped us when we were over there. When we were in Tokyo, he did like all our tour guide stuff. And he was like super courteous. And yeah, we did go a little bit of street racing with him, but we did this like 4 a.m. There was no one on the road, and he was very meticulous about it. He's been doing that. He's been like driving around these roads since he was like 18. So he's very good. Hey, Ken. Hi. If you go to Japan, get a proper tour guide. Don't get some weirdo and a shiesty. Don't, unless you're into that. I know some people who can do that for you, but I will not divulge that on the podcast. Speaking of dangerous street racing, this past weekend in Orange County, Kyle 1320 was in a really, really bad accident. It was a gnarly crash. This is all kind of new right now, all the information we're getting. It's Monday. I have heard that he is okay. All he has is a broken jaw and a broken femur. So we're glad he's recovering. I think for a while yesterday and early morning today, a lot of people were like, they hadn't heard anything. We had no idea what his condition was. But I've heard just now about like 30 minutes ago that he's okay, that he's just recovering. But it's a gnarly crash. If you see the footage, the guy gets on the gas and they just go right into a telephone pole. And the car, the Supra, flips over and catches fire. It is a mangled wreck. You couldn't even tell this thing's a Supra. But just really glad everyone's okay. It looks like there was some people that were following them. Like they're with a group of other guys, and they apparently came to the help and flipped the car back over before law enforcement arrived. But just like super dangerous. I mean, those are unsafe speeds. They were driving near a coastal road, so it's already like wet and damp. I don't want to be a hypocrite, but I mean, you got to be, there's a time and place. A car like this, I mean, it looks like it made a ton of power, and you can like tell as soon as he gets on that gas, the thing just like comes out from under him and just swerves right into the pole. So it's dangerous. And I think it's just like, gotta know the conditions. I'm glad he's doing fine. I'm very curious to see if he'll ever get in the car again, because that was a gnarly wreck, man. Like, I think that would probably traumatize someone. That is really scary. So Kyle, I'm very thankful you're doing okay, bud. Hope I see you at SEMA this year and we can grab a drink. That's all the stories that are kind of out right now. What am I working on at Donut? There's a few things I'm working on at Donut right now. This podcast. And I'm also working on a new history show. It's called Lore Garage. It'll be coming out, I think, in 2 weeks. I just saw the first cut. And it's unlike anything we've ever done at Donut before in visually. It is about storytelling and telling great stories. But it is this very visually appealing. I don't even want to say like what it looks like, because I think you guys are going to be like blown away by it. Every time I've shown it to someone, they're like, what? And every time we've been like doing notes and someone walks past me and they see it on my screen, they're like, what is that? So I'm super excited for you guys to see it. Our first story is going to be about Motorex, talking about the story of Motorex. If you're familiar with that, it's about that's basically how GTRs ended up here in the United States in the early 2000s, how some of them got onto the Fast and Furious movies, and why it was kind of like, well, if you own one of these cars, they're going to get crushed. And kind of why the 25-year import law is as serious as it is. So I'm super excited to show you guys what we've been working on with that. So there's going to be a lot of overlap between the two shows. So if you like this show, go check that out. And if you watch Lore Garage, go check this show out. You're already watching this, but you get it. You get what I'm saying. The more you guys watch this, the more I get to do, okay? That's what I'm trying to say, all right? And I love doing this for you guys. It's so fun. I love my job. I love coming in here every day and telling you guys cool stories, talking about stuff I just see on the internet. So that was the first episode of the Jimmy Eats Cars Automotive Podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening and watching. Follow me on Instagram at russelljimmy.jp, and I will see you guys soon. Bye for now. Bye.